Precious Father, we receive revelation this morning. We receive wisdom and insight. Thank you for your word that reveals your Son. This morning, our eyes behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. We began on that last night. There was some information last night that we're going to leverage on this morning. Alright. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, pardon me. Verse 19. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so we began to look at that word, times of refreshing, because really that's what this convention is about. Now, notice some truths that we explained last night. And we said the word repent, can you remember that? We said repent had to do with a mindset they had about Jesus. Remember that. That he used those terms for Israel, how they had seen Jesus. We looked at that in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Acts 5, verse 31. And definitely Acts 3, verse 19. That if you read the verses before, he was referring to how they didn't see him as Christ. So he said, look, you guys have to repent. And then he never said, repent from your sins. He didn't say that. He never said, repent from your sins. In other words, he's saying, repent from what you used to think. Repent from how you used to act in that context, referring to how they saw Jesus. Is that very clear? Come on, is that clear? Can you hear me well? Alright. So, he said that, to repent. So, we treated that last night. Now, he now says, the times of refreshing, he said that your sins may be blotted out. Pay very good attention here. Now, we said, who does the blotting out of sins? Who does it? Jesus. Okay? Colossians 2:14. Let's read it together. That's important. Colossians 2:14. Jesus is the one who blots out sins. Colossians 2:14. Alright. Look at this. It says, blotting out, talking about Jesus, because we need to just read the previous verse. Verse 13. It says, you being dead in your sins and the sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you how many? Someone say, all your trespasses. What now the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was written or which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailed to the cross. Now the word blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances is the same word we just saw in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Blotting out of sins. That's what he does about sins. I want you to pay attention to something very importantly. You know, yesterday we looked at how did the apostles preach about sin in the book of Acts. How did they preach about sin? How did they preach about sin? Last night, we remember that last night we said nobody preached concerning individual sin. Can you remember that? Nobody did. Nobody in the sermons in the book of Acts, no one preached on individual sins. Is that very clear? Now, let's observe a few more things. Let's go to Acts 2 one more time, because it's important. When Peter, because I want to focus on Peter's teaching now. When Peter was preaching, look at how he spoke about sin. He says in verse 38, then said he unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Notice that. He says, for the remission of sins. In other words, to take away sins. Now, it would be funny if he says, repent from your sins for the remission of sins. Because if I repent from my sins, there is no need for remission. Because there will be no sins to remit. You get that? You do get that? If I change my ways, then there will be no sins to forgive. Let me see if you understand that. There will be no sins to forgive. That will be contradictory. In other words, if he says, repent for the remission of sins. If he has said repent from sins for the remission of sins, you'll have to pick one of the two. Are you still there? Are you following that? Do you get that? Let me see if you understand that. Okay, so the preaching was repent. In other words, see things differently or turn your direction towards the remission of sins. Turn your direction towards the remission of sins. That's given by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at it again in chapter 3. He says the blotting out of sins. Verse 19. We read that earlier. Look at chapter 5. Verse 31. Nobody preached people to repent from their sins to the unsaved. No one preached that. Look at chapter 5 again. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior. Hallelujah. That's where the B part together. For to give, everybody come on, one more time. For to give repentance to Israel, and so what does he give? He gave repentance. In other words, he gave you what? What do you mean to give repentance? He gives you the opportunity to see things differently. So, it's a gift. He gives repentance. And then the forgiveness of sins. In other words, forgiveness of sins is a gift. Are you following that? He didn't say, repent from your sins. No, he says, repent. Alright? He gives repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Did you notice that? He uses sins in plural. That's important. Now again, in chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius. We were there yesterday. Look at how he says it again. I'll start from 39. Acts 10, 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Now let's take verse 43 together. Verse 43, let's go. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall what? Hallelujah. Shall receive what? Remission of sins. In other words, remission of sins is a gift. It's a gift. That's how they preached in the book of Acts. In the house of the jailer, this is how Paul said it. The man said, what must I do to be saved? What an opportunity to knock his head. What must I do? You look at him. And that's why you discover that. Now, I'm not against this in any way, but I just want to clarify that. You discover that there was no one told to say a prayer to be saved in the Bible. So come here. Come forward. We believe that salvation is when the fellow leaves his seat and comes out. And then when he comes out, then he lines up with other people. When he lines up, they will say, pray, pray, that the Lord may hear you today. Then the guy begins to pray. He has already believed you, but you are just punishing him. Then he prays. Then after he has done that, he say after me, say, Heavenly Father, I come before you today. Someone told me, he said, I found out that there's no sinner's prayer at the back of your book. I said, we don't punish them. We preach the gospel to them. When they believe, they will speak. Hallelujah. So, if he comes, say after me, Heavenly Father, I come before you today, I come before you today. And he's actually coming before you. I know I'm a worthless sinner. I'm very useless. I admit that I'm the most hopeless person in the world. Accept me like that by your mercy, grace, and graciousness. And then when he has done that, accept me, give it to me, what you want to give me. Then that's bad enough. They will now say, so close your eyes. Then the person now says, Father Lord Jesus. Oh, sorry, Father Lord. I don't think you got that. You know, some people are praying, and as they are praying, say, Heavenly Father, Father, Heavenly Father, Lord. They are getting things mixed up. Say, our Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord. No, he is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? You need to know the personalities you're talking about. Hallelujah. He's called the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said the Father who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there? Glory to God. Where was I now? Okay, so I said, Father, we ask today, these people have come before you. Receive them. Who are you? There's one mediator. He has no assistant mediator or deputy mediator. He's your own mediator too. Hallelujah. So they didn't preach all the kind of things in the book of Acts. They just preached the forgiveness of sins. So receive it. So he says, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe. Hallelujah. In the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You and your house. Hallelujah. Believe. Do you know the truth is, when the man said that statement, he hadn't heard the gospel. Look at it. He hadn't heard the gospel. Acts 16. He wanted to cut himself and kill himself. And Paul said, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. Then the man asked, sirs, verse 30, what must I to be saved? And then Paul says, believe the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you and your house. Then Paul now spoke the gospel to him. The gospel is about faith. Hallelujah. The man wanted to harm himself and Paul says, you know what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your house. Are you there? Are you still there? Now quickly, let's see a couple of other ones. Look at Acts 13. I actually skipped that as an error. Acts 13. This is Paul now. Come on, I just flip to Paul quickly. Acts 13. Have you seen I told you last night, you know, it appears that some evangelism that we do, we want to make the unbeliever grow up spiritually. We want to make them grow spiritually. That's what we're trying to do. You list, you have some tracks, they just list diverse things And then say, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, even including other things that is not included in this book. Are you Moses? Moses said, and such like. That is, he said, if I can't even find it in my head right now, anything is involved in this one. Are you still there? Look at Acts 30. Verse 38. Be known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, hallelujah, he speaks what? He speaks the forgiveness of sins. Let's take verse 39 together. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law. Hallelujah. So what's in the gospel? Justification. Righteousness through faith. Hallelujah. Righteousness through faith. So every time they preach like that, look, Acts 17:31, he says, through one man, through this man, he has given assurance unto all in that he raised them from the dead. Acts 17:31. Why were they preaching like this? Why? Why were they preaching like this? Go to Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24. Are you there? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Repentance. You understand repentance now? Huh? What's repentance now? Repentance means to change the way you see things. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name. So that's why you won't find them preaching people's conduct. They weren't told to do that. Now, when you say remission of sins, that's already conduct. That means you have summarized every kind of conduct that could come into the picture. And then you say, we're preaching the remission of those sins. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Look at this now. Look at Mark 16:15-16. Says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Now he explains what it means to be saved. If you are very careful in that verse. He says, he that believes not shall be what? Condemned. In other words, the saved there will mean he will not be what? Condemned. He will be condemned. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not is damned. Not because of his conduct. There's no behavior that is as damnable as unbelief. Unbelief is the damnation of man. And it's not God kind, it's man made. Are you there? Are you there? Unbelief. Not to believe. Not to believe in the remission of sins. Not to believe in the forgiveness of sins is a damnation. Hallelujah. Alright. In John 20. John 20. What do you tell him, John 20? In John 20 and verse 22, he says to them, receive the Holy Ghost. John 20:22. He says, receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 23 says, whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain are retained. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them. By preaching. Hallelujah. In Matthew's Gospel 26 and verse 28. Matthew's Gospel 26 and verse 28. What does he say? He says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. So, in evangelism and preaching the gospel, what we offer is remission of sins. It's not behavioral modification. I think I shared that last night. Remember that last night? You say, well, I can see your haircut is too tall. You know, in Christ Jesus, we have skin. Skin cut is the prescribed haircut in Christ Jesus. You know, many of us really can be interested. If someone comes in here now and he has his hair, a man, Jerry Cole, somewhere in your mind. Yes, it's true, you believe in the gospel, you believe in the new covenant, but in your mind, you're saying, but why? But why? But why? Why can't he just have a decent haircut? What's a decent haircut? Skin. Or just shape it. Just shape it. Shape it moderately. But then, babies were born with Jericho. How do you deal with that? Glory to God. So I say, thank you, Pastor. Make sure your own doesn't look like a shoemaker, okay? You know, there are people like that. You know, in your mind, you have that view about God and Christianity. The way people are born again, they start to dress like Christians. How they dress like Christians? You know now, what is it? Christian dress. Your trousers look like pencil. And then your tie is like skipping rope. And you say, holiness unto the Lord. Interesting. You know, the reason why we dress moderately is not because of righteousness, it's because of people. Not righteousness. God sees you naked. You don't believe God sees you naked? He does. Some of you laugh. Is it not true? Or you tell God, hold on, I'm dressing up, you know. He lives in you, praise God. Hallelujah. But for the sake of others, that's why we dress modestly. And that's why we also must dress properly. You don't dress like there's a coat of many colors contract on your life, you know. You dress to church and you say, well, not because you don't have money, but because you just think that's Christianity. You dress to church and you say, is today a rag day? No. What's going on? So, are you protesting? No. Are you still there? So no, that's not Christianity. Christianity is not dressing, alright? Christianity is to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Alright? Alright, so we said that's what they preach. That's what we offer. Okay? Jesus is the one that takes care of sins. Never forget that. Hallelujah. And some people, when we preach like this, some people say, that's a new message in town. Someone said, the new message is now Christ. Christ. You feel like breaking a bottle on his head. No, I mean plastic bottle. How in the world would you reason like that? That the new message now is, they say, the revelation of Jesus. That's the new message. It's a new thing. No, some guys in Nigeria are drunk. Sincerely. They are drunk about move. Move. There's a move. This is not a move. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. This is the word of God. Amen. It's not a move. Jesus Christ, He is a revelation of God. You see, the Bible is a book of principles. What Bible is that? The Bible is not a book of principles. The Bible is a book that reveals Jesus. It's not a book for business. Business principles. Not a book. It's not a book for science. The Bible is not a book. It's not a book for nation building. nation building. No. If you got that out of your Bible, you are preaching heresy. If you can preach nation building out of your Bible, you are preaching heresy. There's only one nation recognized. It's called the new creation. Hallelujah. The Bible is not a book for social reformation. I like Martin Luther King. I like what he did. But what he did is not in tandem with the scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus was in Jerusalem when there was tyranny. Jesus was in Jerusalem when there was tyranny. He was in Israel. And there was what we can call racism today. They were under tyrannical rule. And you know the point? He was not fighting it. They said, come, let's go. We know who we are. We know who we are. We must change in this place. We know who we are. Yes, we know who we are. And then during the conference, how to take over the land. He didn't do all that. They even asked him, where would you restore the kingdom again to Israel? Where would you? He just looked at, what are we talking about? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. All the apostles lived in the time of tyranny. And none of them was preaching sermons against it. Preachers should get their priorities right. Hallelujah. All the apostles. Check the Bible well. They were under Roman government. And they were not doing sermons and say, brethren, it's time to take it. It's time to resist it. Our God is not going to take it. And we're not going to take it too. They didn't do all that. You have just one message. Hallelujah. They have just one message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Alright, look at this. This makes sense. Go to Acts 2 again. Acts 3 one more time. So, that's the message. You preach Jesus and what he did. After he rose from the dead, there was a whole lot of tyranny in Israel. He didn't come back and he said, where are we going, Lord? We're going to the palace. To do what? Just watch me. Gang, 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 gang. Herod, your father wanted to kill me when I was small. Are you seeing me now? Write your resignation letter. I don't want to kill you. No. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not taking over Asorok. That's the kingdom of men. The kingdom of God is for the gospel to be preached. Men should receive remission of sin. And the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He may not look fanciful. He may not look like, hey, is that all? Is that all? That's all! Hallelujah! Is that all? That is everything! Let's tell God. He doesn't understand the seasons. Need another Savior. Hallelujah. See, I believe the gospel. Now go to ask me one more time. So he says in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to observe, I want you to pay very good attention here. That is, you must listen well. I know for many people, they don't pay attention in church. So that's why they give them a lot of attention grabbers. Like comedy. So they can get your attention back. You know, I don't know how you became a kid. You know, when kids are in school, when they are getting distracted, you now play cartoon. You now do stories. Okay. So we do the same thing for people in church. When they are losing attention, you just say, bam, featuring. You must focus. Jesus preached to unbelievers. 3 days they followed him. Unbelievers. 3 days. And he was teaching them. 3 days. Unbelievers, they were not saved. Those who are saved, 3 minutes. I think, just quoting the Bible, in the Bible. Say, my attention, what do you call it again? Huh? Span. What do you call it? As trunks. In 30 minutes preaching, your attention span or whatever drop. And you watch Chelsea. You watch Man U. You watch Arsenal. In the same day. And your attention span did not die. Some of us stayed overnight watching Trump and Clinton. Even though you don't have a passport. You've only gone to the airport for excursion. Or to see your grand uncle to the airport. And I say, eh? Ne father. And your attention span did not drop. It's when the Spirit of God is speaking that your attention span, are you born again? Hallelujah. All right, now watch this. Now ask me. He says the times of refreshing. Now that word refreshing was used just once, and it's only here. I'll spell it for you. It's the word anapsuxis in the Greek. I'll spell it. A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. I told you yesterday it means to breathe fresh air. You know the way you're tired, and then you have to go out and get fresh air. That kind of thing. You go fresh air. If you play football, for example, and then you've exhausted yourself. There was a time we used to play football. I don't know why we did. At the end of the year, we just play football. We might still do it this year, you know. I don't think we did it last year, but we did it the year before. Was it the year before? 2 years ago. He knows because he's a very, very rough tackler. He has injured several people. Pastor is very brutal. Very, very. I think Ugo is the other person that's like that. He just injures people. Ah, Pastor, sorry. Very wicked people. You know, sometimes these guys will criticize people. They say, ah, Drogba, why did you play like that? But when we want to play, in 10 minutes, you know, so it's very good to criticize. And then they leave the pitch and they say, you sit down. 15 minutes, one half. 15 minutes to rest for the other half. Alright, that is the word refreshing. Alright? To have fresh air. Pay attention here. Now, that word has another word that is similar to it. In other words, it's derived from another word that was used also just once. So go to that one. And that will help us a lot. Because you can say, well, this is for an unbeliever. No, it's not for an unbeliever. Look at this. 2 Timothy 1:16. Are you following? Are you following? 2 Timothy 1:16. 2 Timothy 1:16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus for us, for he often refreshes me. He often refreshes me. Here's the word anapsuko. A-N-A-P-S-U-C-H-O. This is a very key word. A-N-A-P-S-U-C-H-O. Now, those of you who study languages, the original languages, when you have the word ana, it means what? Again. Right? Come on. Are we together? It means again. That means something that you have again and again. Okay. So, it says, he refreshes me. He refreshes me. In other words, He revitalizes me. He comforts me. Okay? It's just like I mentioned, fresh air. And you know, oftentimes, look at that. When you have that fresh air, just like I talk about football, you now go back to take the second half. Alright? Am I making sense? So you have more energy to do what you were doing before. Okay. So he says, go back to Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19. So he says, times of refreshing, which is the word kairos. Kairos means opportunity. 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 Or opportunities. In other words, there's something that has come via the resurrection to us. Via the resurrection, we have access to being refreshed again and again. Access to opportunities. Now, watch this. I want you to observe something. Observe something. In this particular text, now when you study, for example, we've been looking at Peter's sermons. Go to Acts 2. Put your hands in Acts 2. I'm going to observe your observation now. Put your hands in Acts 2, and I want you to pay very good attention to verse 38 and 39. Then, Acts 3, the one we're reading now, verse 19 and 20. Then Acts 5, verse 31 and 32. Then, Acts 10, verse 42, 43, and 44. So, I'm just picking Peter's sermons alone. So I told you Acts 2, verse 39, 38 and 39. I said, look at Acts 3, 19 and 20. I said, look at Acts 5, verse 30, 31 and 32. And I said, you should look at Acts, what's the last one? Acts 10, okay, verse 42, 43, and 44. Observe something. What was unique in Acts 3? Acts 3 stands out. Look at it. Just pay attention. Pay very good attention. What stands out? Don't rush. Bible study is not rush. Something stands out. We've talked about repent yesterday, so don't go back to repent. Something stands out there. What is it? Acts 2, 38, 39. Okay. Acts 3, 19, 20. Acts 5, 31, 32. 30 to 32 anyway. Acts 10, 42, 43, 44. Can you see something? Don't you have to just tell us now? No, I won't. You just observe it yourself. What did you observe? Who observed something? Huh? The Holy Ghost was not used in Acts. Who saw that too? The Holy Ghost wasn't used. But in every other place, he mentioned the Holy Ghost. In other words, what he called times of refreshing will be in the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? Good. Times of refreshing. The Holy Ghost. He says, from the presence of the Lord. Okay? Times. He didn't say a time. He said times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So in other texts, he mentioned the gift of the Holy Ghost was received, for example, in Acts 10, 44 and 45, okay, and 46. Then in Acts 2, 39, he says, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 5, 31 and 32, he says, he gives the Holy Ghost to them that believe. Are you following that? Come on, are you following that? So he relates the giving of the Holy Ghost to the resurrection of Jesus. In other words, the gift of the Holy Ghost that Peter is referring to, or he referred to in the book of Acts, is not something that you practice once. Are you there? It's something that brings regular occurrences in your life. So he calls it times of refreshing. Let me see how you're following this. Come on. Can I see your hand if you're following this? Times of refreshing. Now look at this. We said, from the presence of the Lord. What do you mean the presence of the Lord? Yesterday we said the presence of the Lord referred to the resurrection. And it's not difficult. Look at that Acts 3 again. Before you go, put your hands in Acts, you go to Acts 3. He says, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. So, verse 20, is that the incarnation or the resurrection? Watch this. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So he is preaching the resurrection of Jesus. So in the resurrection of Jesus, which he calls the presence of God, from the presence of the Lord, that's the presence of the Lord. He refers to that resurrection as the presence of the Lord, because that's what resurrection is. Look at Acts 2, one more time. Acts 2. Verse 28, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your presence. With your presence. And he says, this spake he of the resurrection, verse 31, of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Look at verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed for this which you now what? See and hear. Can you see this? Let me see if you can see this. Can you see this? He has shed for this which you now see and hear. So, a unique theme about chapter 3 is that he calls it times of refreshing. That's how you will know that the term gift of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts is not salvation. It's not the new birth. Times. Times of refreshing. Things that should happen more than once. It should happen more than once. Watch this now. I'm going to study that in a moment. Go back again to Acts. Three. When Acts 3. So, he begins to lay foundation of yesterday. He begins to talk about, he began to talk about the death of Jesus, how God raised him from the dead, whereof we all are witness. Let me ask you, what was he preaching in Acts 3? The death of Jesus or his resurrection? Let me see if you understand that well. So, what will be the presence of the Lord? That will be what? His resurrection. So, the times of refreshing, will it come from his death or his resurrection? Oh, come on, talk to me. His death or his resurrection? Alright, so, the presence of the Lord will now refer to what? His resurrection. Let me see how that's clear to you. Is that very clear? His resurrection. He's preaching his resurrection. Last night we said, the gospel is what? The resurrection of Jesus. The death of Jesus is just a fact of it. But the gospel itself is the resurrection of Jesus. Was that clear last night? Was that clear last night? Very good. So, he says in that resurrection, Peter. Peter says, when he was raised up from the dead, and he's by the right hand of God exalted, he has now shed for this, which we now see and you hear. So, this is the work of his resurrection. This is what came out of his resurrection. Now, go to the book of Acts. Oh wow, that's where we are. Stay in the book of Acts, do my word. Acts 1. Pay very good attention now, please do. Acts 1. Verse. Now, we learned a couple of things that we learned that Jesus stayed with his disciples for 40 days and he taught them the things concerning the kingdom of God in verse 3. But precisely, what was the focus you see in verse 4? But wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, or not many days hence. Watch that. John baptized with water, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. So, the focus of the book of Acts will be, will be that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I know you know this already, that Luke's description here of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is different from how the word baptized and the Holy Ghost is used in the epistles. Never forget that. All right. One more time, let's look at this. Look at Acts 11:17. Watch this. This is Peter repeating this statement. And so what does he say? Peter said, watch this. Verse 13. He was referring to his experience in the house of Cornelius. So he says, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee the words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So, what was in the mind of Peter when he was going to the house of Cornelius? To preach salvation. Right? Come on. He didn't have a problem with that. Because he was expressly told to go to the house to preach salvation. That they might be saved. So, watch this now. And as I began to speak, what happened? The Holy Ghost what? Fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, was he referring to salvation here? Come on now. Was he referring to salvation here? Did Jesus ever call baptism of the Holy Ghost salvation? No. So, he was going there to preach salvation. But as he was preaching salvation, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them. Which he now said, he referred to as the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So he says in verse 17, for as much as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now, what were they talking about? They were talking about the fact that the Gentiles spoke in tongues and magnified God. So, are you following me? Come on. Are you following me? Good. So notice their descriptions. In Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8. Luke 24:49. You know, something similar here is that Luke wrote the two materials. He wrote Acts by record and history, and then he also wrote Luke, at least. Acts 24. Then verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And you shall tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Acts 1:8 quickly. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Acts 1:8. So far, who is doing all this writing? Huh? Who wrote Acts 1:8? Acts 1:5? Luke 24:49, Acts 11:17, Acts 11:16, Acts 10:44-45. Look, very good. So, now, we must pay attention now. The book of Acts has a very unique language. It's a language of an eyewitness. The book of Acts was not written by revelation. It's an eyewitness. It's what he saw. Eyewitnesses of what happened. He acknowledged that himself. Acts 1. He acknowledged that himself. In Acts 1 verse 1 to 3, he acknowledged that himself. So, these were things that he saw. That's why in the book of Acts, pay attention, this is right, you will not find the term sons of God or born again. You won't find words like that. You won't find words like in him. You won't even find anywhere, this is important now, where God was referred to as our Father. Not one place. So in other words, he's not teaching you in Christ realities. He's not teaching you the realities of what we have in Christ or things like that. He's just giving an historical account. So the language he used will be a language of a journalist. So whatever he will describe from the Holy Ghost will be, pay attention now, will be experiential. Let me add one more. You will not find Luke use or mention the Holy Ghost in relation to the new birth. Not in the book of Acts. Not in the book of Acts. And so, that's why you can only understand the book of Acts effectively by studying the epistles. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? Very good. So, again, Jesus, do not forget that Jesus was the one who taught them before these experiences. So go back again to Luke 24. You know, I found out something in many churches, not most churches, just many churches. There are a lot of preachers know that Christians don't check the scriptures. I had someone who was trying to say something, and he was trying to talk about why Christians must not judge others. That is, do not judge ministers. I mean, that's what he was trying to say. And he began to talk emotionally. Like, it's not fair. You know, and he went into all sort of things. And he said quite a number of interesting things. But I now showed a friend, I said, you know what? He knows that those who are going to read this thing will not check the scriptures. Because if any of them did, they will know he was quoting the scriptures out of context. And he was only using what he wanted to use in the Bible. Because there's no way you can study any epistle that tells you not to judge. In fact, it's the other way around. The reason why they were written was so that you can judge things. But he mischievously was not quoting, speak the truth in love. The person that says, speak the truth in love, says, so that you be not tossed to and fro. Was that not what he said before it? By every wind of doctrine and slight cunning craftiness of men. He's telling people are crafty. That means you must know those who are crafty. Hallelujah. So if you speak the truth in love, you are being dishonest. Let us see the previous verse. Hallelujah. Let me see how you're following what I'm saying. You are only quoting scripture because you know he knows that people will not check it. He knows that Christians come to church without Bible. Sir, tell them, sir. That's right. Bam. Bam. Comedians. So that's why you go to church with your Bible.
As he's quoting, read it yourself. When you're not under persecution, read it. Check it.
Sir, what you said, the verse before, he clarifies it. Hallelujah. Also, the Bible says, judge not, judge not, judge not. No, that's not what he says. If you read it very well, in fact, you will see judging there. So people know that, folks who read the Bible. I like what Reverend Sam Adeyemi said yesterday. He said, when you go to church without a Bible, you are a candidate for error, for deception. Have your Bible. Read it. Check it. Observe. Don't let anyone drag you into sentiments and emotions. Your faith is in Christ. Say, my faith is in Christ. Hallelujah. But something is happening in our nation. We're bringing back the culture of true Bible study. Enough of emotional preaching. Enough of excitement. Enough of situational ethics. Situational gospel. A gospel that by the time you get to Europe, you cannot preach it again. An African gospel. Come and get visa. You will make it. You now get to a country where they have all made what you were trying to make. And they are not believers. Make sure you get our book, Faith in the Gospel of Christ and Material Things. It's going to set people free. Hallelujah. It's out already. There's nothing you can do. Hallelujah. Okay, Luke's Gospel 24, are you there? So Jesus, all through, was quoting the Old Testament. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Hot not Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus was preaching from the Old Testament. Look at verse 24. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So watch this now. So Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament. Pay very good attention. So, in Acts 2 again, it therefore followed that whatever Peter was going to preach, he was going to follow that pattern. He also was preaching from the Old Testament. Acts 2:25, quickly, let's just examine that. For David speaks concerning him. David is a prophet. In verse 30, David being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath, so he's quoting from the Old Testament. Same thing. In Acts 3, quickly. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of what? What? All his holy prophets since the world began. And he kept mentioning a prophet. He mentioned Moses. Then in 25, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, that in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Alright. So again, Acts 4. When he's preaching, Acts 4. When they were praying, pardon me. They said in verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David had said. So the only authority they had was from where? The scriptures. Never preach situational messages. You have, the only right you have in the church is to preach from the scriptures. You cannot come to the church and read Napoleon Hill. That's an insult. You can't come to church and be preaching Godfather. Mafia. In the house of God. What a disrespect. You can't come to church and be preaching, say all of you who they've looked down upon in your life. Look at the story of Donald Trump. You are a joker. That's what you are. You are a comedian. That means you didn't have a sermon till you won the election. Shame. Anyway, the authority they had was from the scriptures. Pay attention here. Acts 10 again. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. So they taught from the prophets. And we're going to examine the prophets together. Alright? Now write this down, if you're writing something. Make sure that you pay attention to this one. I've been teaching this in Lagos anyway, for some time. God never put his spirit amongst us. He didn't. And so listen to that very, very well. You know, we sing, oh God, you are here. Oh, as I come into your presence. You know, we've seen that the word presence refers to what? His resurrection. As the gates of praise. I mean, what's the gate of praise? The door of the church. In your sanctuary. No, you shouldn't sing like that. You shouldn't sing like that. No, you shouldn't sing like that. You say, in your presence, I am content. If you mean in his resurrection, you're fine. But in your presence, that is, I came, you were here before me, so I came to you. You came inside, so I came to you, so we saw ourselves. You know, we used to church times like that, we say, brethren, welcome to God's presence. I remember. Where is he? Pastor Lang. He hosted me years back. He was in university then. And so, I taught them 3 days. I think you were not there. Were you there? You were in that meeting. 2003, I think. So, 3 days. Were you there? You were not there. Who was there? 3 days. About the Holy Ghost. And I taught them so well. The third day. So I told him to round up the service. I just finished teaching. Round up the service. So he said, what a time we have had in his presence. I said, you know, that thing's been in his head. You get it? In his, and he was smiling and so happy about what he said. So proud of his ignorance. Why is he not here? I would have said more. You know, we think, this is the presence of God. You are joking. There was nothing here. And there's still nothing here. You mean here? Nothing. What is here is atmosphere. That's why when you leave, you can come here and do dance. Don't think that when you leave this place, you will not want to come and do party here, you will not be falling. You know, there's a way some people teach about the Holy Ghost, you'll be funny. And they say, be quiet. Don't move. Don't move. The Holy Spirit is, he will get angry. On the day of Pentecost, people were moving. So what Holy Ghost are you preaching? It's Mount Sinai that you got that. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Oh my God. So there's nothing here to say. It's not about that church. It's that when you leave, and I went to the altar, after Pastor has finished praying, and I touched the altar. So, you are giving to emotionality and sensationality. You're just emotional. That's it. God never put his spirit in buildings. So don't expect the Spirit of God in this place. Don't be discouraged yet. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, let's move on now. So God never put his Spirit in our midst. He didn't. So look at Acts 2. The Bible says, whatsoever two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. Oh my God. We'll come to that one. Acts 2. The very opening statement of Peter was from Joel. So he says, in verse 15, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall what? Prophesy. So he's quoting, so you put your hands in there, he's quoting from Joel 2, 28 to 31. So note that. And so we can safely say that this was the emphasis of the book of Acts. Joel's prophecy was that emphasis of the book of Acts. Pay good attention here. Now, do not forget, like I mentioned earlier, that Jesus taught from the prophets. So, you must have mentioned Joel as well. But he taught from the prophets. Now listen carefully. Look up now. Would you ever find the term spirit in the book of Acts? No. Now listen very well. If you were sleeping before, sleep back. This is the time to sleep. Did you ever see spirit upon in the epistles? No. Are you following me? Now, wait. Let's take it one more time. Did you see spirit within in the book of Acts? No. Would you find spirit upon in the epistles? No. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Why was this so? Now, which of the material is for spiritual growth? The epistles. Okay. The book of Acts is for what? Information. Historical information. Data. Some information in there, some teaching is in there, but you need the epistles to clarify those things. Now, so we agree safely saying that Luke was referring to that prophecy of Joel. Can we agree to that? Can we agree to that? Now, look at John. John 14. John 14. I want us to read verse 16 and 17 together. John 14. Let's go. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Hold on now. It says abide. Okay? Look at verse 17. Let's go 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, or you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be where? Shall be where? Now, this is the language of the book of Acts or the epistles? The book of Acts or the epistles? The book of Acts or the epistles? Very fine. Now, watch this now. That means whatever Luke was recording is not this. It relates with this, but it's not this. That he may abide with you forever. Now, go to Ezekiel 36. Do not forget that we said they were teaching, Jesus was teaching, the apostles taught from the Old Testament, from the prophets. Ezekiel 36. And verse 26. I want us to read it together, everybody. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. If you are there, say amen. Let's start from 25. Everybody, let's go. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Let's take it one more time. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. 26. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. 27. And I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8, and obviously what happened in Acts 2:1-4 were related with which of the prophecies? Huh? Who? Joel's prophecy. Now, what Jesus taught in John 14, and subsequently what the apostles taught, we're going to see that in the epistles, will relate with which of the prophecies now? Ezekiel. So, the question will now be, do we have two spirits? No. We don't have two spirits. We have the same spirit, but then you have a function of the spirit which Joel prophesied about. Unbelievers do not see the new birth. They can only see utterances. Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? So that's why the book of Acts was not relating to the new birth. Are we together here? Okay, good. Now, look at Paul's language. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul. Now, in verse 1, it is now, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts is italicized, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, when it says concerning spirituals, that word is things of the Spirit. So it means things of the Spirit. Say like me, say things of the Spirit. So when I say things of the Spirit. But meanwhile, it's important to note, like I've always taught you, don't use a word in a way that it means the same thing everywhere. No. The word spiritual, for example, was used for men in the same book. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, it says the spiritual man judges all things. He himself is judged of no man. In chapter 3, it says, I couldn't speak unto you, verse 1, as unto spiritual. Chapter 3, verse 1. In the same book. So, he uses the word spiritual. In fact, in chapter 15, I think verse 44 or 45, he says the body, he calls one body earthly, he calls another one spiritual. So, you must be able to define what he's saying in the context. In Romans 7, I think verse 9, he says the law is spiritual. In Colossians 3:16, it says spiritual songs, similar to Ephesians 5:19. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says we are built up a spiritual house. So the word spiritual depends on what you're talking about. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. So if you're a good translator of scripture, of language, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, you say concerning these spiritual things. So, whatever we're discussing will flow from here. Concerning these spiritual things. These, because there are other spiritual things. Let me see how you understand what I'm saying there. Is that very clear? Uh-huh. But in specific language, he's dealing with certain things here in 1 Corinthians 12. So, he now says in verse 4, because that's my focus. Verse 4. Let's take verse 4 together. Let's go, come on. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but what? But what? Pay attention now. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Why would he say same Spirit? Do not forget, we said there were two prophecies, one by Joel. Joel says, I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Ezekiel says, I put my Spirit within you. So in your head, you can say, well, are we talking about two spirits? So that's why the epistles will clear it for you. The epistle says the same Spirit. Now, why would he say same Spirit? That means, if you have this letter, he does not want your mind to deviate. I will say same as an opening statement. I will only use the word same because I must have discussed something before. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. So, I must have discussed the spirit I'm referring to before now. So, let's see the first time he discussed the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you learning something? Chapter 2 and then verse 4. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. So, the first statement of the spirit. Chapter 2. Chapter 2 again, verse 10. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit says all things, and yea, the deep things of God. Then he says in verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Let's take verse 12 together, let's go. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. So what have we received? The Spirit of God. Say, I have received the Spirit of God. Look at 15. Of 13, it says, with things also we speak, or not in the words with man's wisdom, teach it, but with the Holy Ghost, teach it comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let's take 14 together. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. Okay, look at chapter 3. So, if it says same spirit in chapter 12, he's talking about this spirit. Now, so this spirit is demonstrated when the gospel is preached. This spirit is received when the gospel is received. Let me see if you understand that. Are you there? Come on, are you there? So look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 16, let's go. Everybody, chapter 3, verse 16, let's go. Know ye not, everybody, come on, let's go. Know ye not that you are the temple of God. Say, I'm the temple of God. So close the statement. And the spirit, I'm waiting for you. This is referring to Jesus' John 14, 16 and 17. Come on. So, where is the Spirit of God? Whose prophecy is that? Joel or Ezekiel? Whose prophecy is that? Joel or Ezekiel? Thank you. So, look at chapter 6. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed. Glory to God. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Look at verse 11. Let's take verse 11 together. Verse 17 together. Let's go. 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? So we're one spirit. Look at verse 19. Let's take verse 19 together. Let's go. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost in you? You are of God, I have not your own. Are you following that? So, it says the Spirit is demonstrated when the gospel is preached. It says the Spirit is received when the gospel is believed. It says the Spirit sanctifies you, cleanses you, just like, you know, who taught that before? Whose prophecy was that? Ezekiel's prophecy. So, again, he says, the Spirit dwells in you. Then he now gets to chapter 12. He says, now concerning these things of the Spirit. Which Spirit now? The Spirit we have been discussing so far. So, in verse 4, he says, now there are diversities of gifts. But in case you are thinking the gift will come to you, he says, the same Spirit. Now, which Spirit is he talking about? The Spirit that lives where? In you. Let me see how you're following this now. So, can we put it like this, safely, that Joel's prophecy will be a consequence of Ezekiel's prophecy? You know why? Because, listen carefully now, in Joel's prophecy comes an instruction. There is no instruction at all in Ezekiel's prophecy. That's how you know Ezekiel's prophecy is a new birth. Joel's prophecy will be an act of faith. They shall prophesy. Watch this. However, in Ezekiel's prophecy, he says, you will do my judgment. So, what is that, what is the judgment and the instruction of God in Joel's prophecy? You shall prophesy. So put it like this. You shall prophesy because the Spirit dwells where? In, let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. Does it make sense? So, Joel's prophecy will be as a result of whose prophecy now? Ezekiel's. Let's go over that again. Okay, some of you felt I was made fast. Look at Ezekiel's prophecy. And look at Joel's prophecy. Look at it again. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, Joel's prophecy says, pour my spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters shall what? Huh? They shall what? Prophesy. Okay? They shall prophesy. Look at Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel's prophecy. Verse 26. 27 now. I'll put my spirit where? I will cause you, make you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgment and do them. So, that means the spirit within causes us to fulfill Joel's prophecy. Let me see if that's clear. Is that very clear? Come on, is that clear? So watch this. Now, again, I'm going to do a test I've done many times and you need to observe. Go to Joel's prophecy. There's something, an element in there you must see. Joel's prophecy. Joel 2:28. And then go to Acts 2:17. Because Peter was quoting from Joel. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? Alright. So go to Joel 2:28. Acts 2:28. Acts 2:17. Joel 2:28. What did you observe was different in the verbiage? What was different? Who can tell me what was different? There's something, what is different? Are you there? Sir, so, yeah, I've done this before. You didn't check anything. Don't act like you checked anything. You just said, and you were opening John. Alright. Peter says, I'll pour out of my spirit. Okay? What was Ezekiel's prophecy? I'll put my spirit within. Pay attention. So, whatever happened, okay, in Joel's prophecy, will not be the new birth. The new birth must have happened before Joel's prophecy is fulfilled. Pay good attention. God put his spirit in individuals. And that's the new creation in Christ. We don't experience the spirit of God. No. Not like the Old Testament folks experienced the presence of God and the glory of God in their own life. He put his spirit in us. That's what he did. In individuals. We here, as individuals, we are the house of God. Hallelujah. You hear what I just said? We are the house of God. And so, you discover shortly that we are the ones that now put, not a comma, put the Spirit amongst us. We are the ones that do it. Else, everywhere people call on Jesus, the same thing should be happening. But the same things do not happen because people have different insight into what God has done in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Not the same thing. Because people have different insights into what God has done in Christ. So, look, go to Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts 2, 1 to 4, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Notice that. And they were all what? Huh? With what? And began to what? As the Spirit what? So, the term Spirit upon can be explained as what? Spirit upon can be explained as what? Being filled with the Spirit. The term Spirit upon can be explained as being filled with the Spirit. Now pay attention now. And being filled with the Spirit is related to what? Utterance. Joel's prophecy was about what? Utterance, primarily. He didn't mention Revelation as well. Utterance. So, can we put it like this? Look up now. Can I put it like this? That Joel's prophecy was about the gifts of the Spirit that Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 12. Can we say it like that? Come on, can we? Look up now. Can we say Joel's prophecy will be the gifts of the Spirit that Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 12. Can we say that? Now, so that means Joel's spirit is Ezekiel's spirit. Okay? In Joel's prophecy, who acts? Huh? Who acts? You will act. In Ezekiel's prophecy, who does the primary action? God through His Spirit. I will cause you to walk. In Joel's prophecy, you shall prophesy. They began to speak. Come on. Are we together? Okay. Now, look at Acts 1:8. I've told you many times that when you hear the word upon, is a language. It doesn't mean on your head. On your head. If something comes on your head, how come is your mouth that is moving? So learn to interpret words properly. Now let's look at Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. You shall what? Receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, it could be two ways. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, you shall receive power. Or, you shall receive power, after that, then the Holy Ghost comes upon. Let me reverse myself. You shall receive power, that means, the Holy Ghost comes on me, then I receive power. Or when I receive power, the Holy Ghost comes on me. Which statement came first? You shall. Then afterwards, look at it again. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, what do we have a responsibility? Huh? What makes the Holy Ghost come upon? Huh? Okay, let's start again. You shall receive. So we have two ways to look at it. I receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon me. Or when I receive power, the Holy Ghost comes upon me. Right? They are the two. Right? Yeah, so we'll choose one now. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the term upon, because it's Luke used it a couple of times. The term upon. Does the term upon, you know when we say upon, for some of you, it is on your head. Upon your, and you never say, you shall say, after the Holy Ghost comes upon your head. Is he upon, is it upon your head there? Huh? His head there? Just as they lay hands, don't say on your head. You just go for your head. Because your head is the first contact. Luke 1:35 is going to make sense to you now. The angel, this is Luke again. The angel answered and said unto her, that's Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore shall the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Okay? So, the Holy Ghost coming on Mary here, that's the same word, coming upon. The Holy Ghost coming on Mary here, does it mean upon her head? Huh? Talk to me. Now, let me ask you now. Who makes the Holy Ghost come upon her? Did Mary just find herself pregnant? What's going on? Hallelujah. What's going on? That's not what happened. Mary received, be it unto me according to your word. Then the Holy Ghost word. So who initiated it? She was told, then she received, and then the Holy Ghost what? Calm down. So, Mary, did the Holy Ghost come on Mary? Then she was pregnant, then she received. She believed the word, right? Then the Holy Ghost what? Right? So that means the Holy Ghost upon Mary was Mary's permission. Now let me see your hand. Does it make sense? Okay, good. So, we're still looking at the word upon. Now, does it mean upon our head? No. That means an encounter. In upon there, he comes where? Actually, in upon here, he comes to what? To supernaturally cause her to have what we call a virgin birth. So, look at another way it's used. Upon. 11:32. Luke 11. Sorry, 22. That was an error. And when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, that he shall come against him. Are you there? Against him, he takes from him all his armor, wherein he trusted and divided. So, watch this. Can we say, upon means to take a hold of? Huh? Come on. To take a hold of. Just like Mary, just like her. When he does, he takes a hold of you. That because he's talking about plundering his house. Now again, look at Luke's Gospel 21:26. A man's heart failing them for fear and looking for things that are coming upon the earth, that shall happen in the earth, or shall take over or control the earth, as the case may be. Luke's Gospel 21:26. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is Luke again. Look at 35. For a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So that's Luke. That's how Luke used upon. So, so far, can we say upon means to take a hold of, or an happening, or an experience? Come on, let me see your hand. Are you following this? It's not on your head. Is that very clear? And that upon can happen inside someone, can happen around him. The issue is that it takes a hold of that person, makes him to do something. For example, when the stronger man overcomes, he plunders the house. When Mary had the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, she had a child. Okay? And just when he says the stays upon the earth, and then there is what? There is mystery, as it were. Watch this one. On the face of the earth. They pray that you escape. Now, look at Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So, we receive power, then the Holy Ghost comes upon. Don't forget, upon is not on your head. Upon will refer to an experience or to take a hold of. Are you listening? Are you listening? Good. In Joel's prophecy, when the Spirit is poured upon, what happens? There is prophesying. So, upon refers to experiences. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying? Now, look at Acts 8:24. The same Luke. Acts 8:24. This was Peter when he rebuked Simon the sorcerer. And he says, Simon said unto him, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken shall come upon me. So upon means to happen to me. Is somebody listening to this? What did Simon say to him? Simon says to him, repent in verse 22. Therefore, this is thy wickedness. Then that pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, I perceive that thou art in the God of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So pray that none of these things shall happen to me. Hallelujah. So, it's coming upon an experience. Are you following this at all? Is it on your head or an experience? Thank you. Go again to Acts 13. And verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophet. Is it getting clearer? Is it getting clearer? Okay. So, come upon there. Is it upon your head or you experience it? So, coming upon refers to what? Is that the new birth or experiences? Does it make sense? Okay, one more. Acts 14, verse 19. No. Ephesians 2:7. No. Acts 14:19. Just refer to it. And there came either Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people that having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. That's the scripture. Okay, go to Ephesians 2:7. This is Paul now. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. The ages to come. That's an experience, a period. Okay? Look at James 5:1, the very last one. You learning something? Are you learning something? All right, look at this. Go to now, you rich man. Weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you, shall happen to you. Are you there? So, go back to Acts 1:8. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So, Acts 1:8, we have two schools. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, or you shall receive power, then the Holy Ghost will come on you. Let's vote. Huh? What does it mean to receive? It's the word lambano, to take a hold of. So what power is he talking about? Okay, let's look at their experience. Acts 2, 1-4. If the Holy Ghost, if you are born again, which we have seen, Ezekiel is a new birth, Joel is being filled with the Spirit. If you are born again, where is the Spirit of God? So, if the Spirit of God comes upon you, the Spirit of God comes upon you from where? Okay. So coming upon is not on your head, it means experiences. Where is the experience coming from? So where is the Spirit coming from? Where is the Spirit coming from? Hallelujah. So the outpouring is from where? Okay. So let's look at their experience. Acts 2, 1-4. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, just after Jesus gave that instruction. Are you learning something? Acts 2, 1-4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, so they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled up the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now what does it mean upon now? Upon each of them, in other words, they had experiences of this, and there was, watch this now, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to what? As the Spirit gave them utterance. So, what did they receive? Huh? Where was the Spirit? So the Spirit gave what? What did they receive? What did they do? Their actions will be Spirit upon. So, who brings the Spirit upon? Who? So, you receive power, which is utterance. Amen. And then what happens? The Spirit comes. So, who is responsible for that experience? You are responsible for it. Hallelujah. You are responsible for that experience. And that is why the epistles, and don't forget, we said that this language is a journalistic language. This was not repeated in the epistles concerning the Spirit of God. Paul will call it gifts of the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? And Peter says, let each man speak as God has given ability. So the ability Jesus mentioned in Acts 1:8 will be what? Will be what? Utterance. So you make the Spirit happen amongst us. So watch this now. We bring the Spirit within out in as much as a pedestrian language as I can use this morning. We bring the Spirit out. That's why the outpouring of the Spirit, which Joel prophesied and Peter explained, will be a result of all of us. So, watch this now. I didn't mention this last night. You did not come here to meet God. You didn't come to this conference or to this meeting to meet God. Okay, I wrote it here. You didn't come. You have not come to meet God. You came to meet believers. Is that not clear? You came to meet believers. And Whatever experience you have among those believers will be based on what they know. You came to be believers. We come together as believers. And we now make a practice of the things of the Spirit. I always tell this example of when I went to Southern Africa and I went to this particular church. As I was preaching the first night, myself and my friend, Reverend Matthew, that was 1998. You know, as we were preaching, I said, Reverend Matthew, did you notice something? That congregation is just too dry. Brother Higgin will say, you know, it was like you were throwing something at the wall and it was bouncing back. They just were looking. You know, they are used to crying in the service. They are used to wanting, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. You know, they're used to crying out like that. You know. So when you preach the gospel, the word of God, they are looking at you. You are waiting. Well, when you say, this is, you are what the word says you are. You are born of the Spirit. Say, check your heart. See your life. Will you make it? You can be born again for 60 hours. And the 61st hour you miss it. See, the Lord showed me a vision about a brother. That brother was an evangelist. He used to preach in the buses. He went from city to city and village to village. Brother, as I saw that vision, I saw that brother burning in hell. I said, Lord, what does this mean? The Lord said, Lord now showed me his life. That the day he was going to die, that's how he told a lie. After every good thing he had done in his life, that one lie. The Lord said, me myself, I felt bad. So, when you preach things like that, they say, They say, that service was hot. Why? God moved though. God moved. See how the sisters were crying. The brothers were lamenting. God moved though. Those who had spirits were just crying. Yahoo! 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 Hotmail! Hotmail! Gmail! Gmail! They were just... But when you have a service, people are laughing in the spirit. They say, see evil spirit, see evil spirit. Say, see evil spirit. Is that church? Is that church? People are just laughing. Is that church? In a church, your heart is broken. You are saying, Lord, Lord. We are not come unto that man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The writer of Hebrews, when he said you're not come unto sinner, he didn't mention God. But he said you are come unto man's side. Then he mentioned God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said the time has come when those who worship will worship the Father. That is, what does worship mean? Worship means to come before. In other words, listen now. We come before God as our Father. That's true worship. If you're still singing, how can you call your Father to me? Say, Bado! That's your Father's nickname. He is our Father. Hallelujah! Praise God! Don't turn God to an area Father. Hallelujah. Said God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. So I was preaching. I said, Reverend, something is wrong here. I said, let's talk to the pastor. So we went to the pastor. And I said, what do you believe about the Holy Ghost? You know, now I was learning some, it was a year before, I'll have told him, do you believe about the Holy Ghost at all? What do you think about the Holy Ghost? I'll have accused him. And that'll be my last session. So I just said, what do you believe about the Holy Ghost? Ah, the Holy Ghost. That we really hunger and thirst for the Holy Ghost in this place. Now, if I don't like it, I just said, wonderful. I have to pretend that I was not feeling bad. Said what people go through, second work of grace, class, they go for sanctification. He mentioned the whole thing. I said, ah, that's great. Just. And I felt like, great. My head, I don't know. If I said, ah, what's that? Check the Bible. And I was thinking, you just look at me. I said, well, we decided to cancel tonight's session. There's no power supply. So in the night, I came to preach. And I showed them from the Word of God. That's my only authority. That to be filled with the Spirit, to speak with tongues, is everyone's right and privilege. That nobody was excluded. As I was preaching and teaching, a very large congregation, their eyes popped open. What? You could see surprise. The same scriptures they had been reading, I read it back to them. And they looked. So, and I probably did not look back at the bishop's seat. I could feel the heat. A man of God told me that he went to London to preach for a fellow. And the guy said, all these things you are preaching, then what we have in Christ. Do you want them to leave the church? The guy said, why? Ah, that's why they come now. If you tell them they have all those things, why would they come again? Hallelujah. So I began to preach. And I gave a call. I said, come out if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They ran out. And I kept laying hands myself on my friend. And they spoke in tongues. You could see. Righteous indignation. The kind of maketa for that. You know, and some of them just walk past the pastor. Mopala. I knew that was my last session. The last day, the great day of the feast. Hallelujah. Nothing helps the believer like knowledge. Accurate knowledge. I know what God says I am. So follow this now. You did not come here to meet God. You came to meet believers. Hallelujah. You came to meet believers. So, the Spirit of God is not here till we give Him expression. The Spirit of God is right now in you. Now, as I'm preaching, I'm giving Him expression. Right? Right? Now, you have a responsibility also to give Him what? Expression. So, for now, you are receiving from me. Don't say God. Yes, God works through me, but you are receiving from me. And you cannot receive beyond my own understanding. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, we cannot decide that every one of us will receive from each other. Why? Because it's the same Spirit. Don't say the same Spirit. That's what Paul said. He said it's the same Spirit. I'll close here. It's the same Spirit. It's not a different one. The same Spirit. Hallelujah. Alright, watch this one now. Go to John. Go back to Acts 3. Where's that Acts 3? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So, the outpouring of the Spirit is your responsibility. That's your responsibility. Glory to God. Now watch this one. Make it sense now. Acts 3. Your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing shall happen. Can we call times of refreshing being filled with the Spirit? Let me see how we can say that. So that's why he calls it time. That means you can be filled with the Spirit over and over and over and over again. And we saw that in the life of Peter himself. In Acts 2, 1 to 4, Peter was filled with the Spirit amongst the 120 historically. In Acts 4, 8, the Bible says Peter being filled with the Spirit. That means he was filled with the Spirit again. Then in Acts 4, verse 31, Peter again, amongst everyone, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So you can be filled with the Holy Ghost many times a day. Hallelujah. You can put the Spirit upon many times a day. We can put the Spirit upon in this service many times as we want. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Paul, Ephesians 5:18 said, do not be drunk with wine when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Who gets filled? Does God fill with the Spirit or you are filled with the Spirit? What has God done? What has God done to us? God has put His Spirit within us. And He has given us utterance by that Spirit. You will now receive that utterance. Hallelujah. In other words, you will cooperate with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues. Prophesying. Singing in the Spirit. It leads into visions and revelations. And then the gifts of power. Those things don't come from heaven. We are in heaven now. So when they said they heard a sound from heaven, that sound came from where they are. So a rushing mighty wind. Thanks be unto God. I said thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. You can be filled now. Being filled with the Spirit. Paul says speaking. So how do we put the Spirit upon us? By speaking. That's why in Joel's prophecy, the most consistent instruction was prophesy. Hallelujah. 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 Remember that song I taught you yesterday? Oh Lord, you are here as I feel this house. I feel this house with the glory of your name. Where is he? As I feel this house. Yes, I feel this house. With the glory of there is a redeemer. Remain seated. Jesus the Son, precious Lamb of God, yes, the Holy. Thank you, O my Father. Forgiven of your son, given of your spirit and your work of earth is done. Thank you, my Father. Thank you.
and your work is done. Your work is done. As we sing, as we pray, it fills this atmosphere. Lord, we glory. Look at that song. It says, as we. Every song so far is our responsibility. As we sing, as we pray, it fills this atmosphere. Lord, your glory. This atmosphere. Lord, your glory. This atmosphere. And as we sing, as we pray, it fills this atmosphere. And as we sing, and as we pray, I know in this place, I know you've been this new creation, and I know you abide, you are on the inside of the people, on the inside of your people, so I live my as I live my world, and I offer up praise unto your name. The Lord has made a sanctuary. I'm pure and holy. I'm pure and holy. Redeemed and true. Redeemed and true. With thanksgiving, I am a living sanctuary. I am a living sanctuary. Lord, is living in me. Is living in me. The offer of love. Eternal life is living in me. Oh, is living in me. The author of love, eternal life is living in me. Sing is walking in me. Is walking in me. He's walking in me, walking in me. The author of life, eternal life. He's walking in me, walking in me. He's walking in me, walking in me. He's walking in me. He's walking through. He's walking through me. You believe that? Father of love. The author of love. Eternal life. He's walking through me. Walking through me. Walking through me. And he's walking through me. The author of love. Let's sing one more. Where I am is where you are. You lead me to walk through me. Stand to your feet. Let's worship together. Where I am is where you are. Sing.